Conversations with professionals for professionals in the laundry and linen services industry. This is the American Laundry News Podcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm Matt Poe, editor of American Laundry News, and your host for the American Laundry News Podcast. One of the most frightening and destructive disasters institutional, commercial, and on-premises laundries face is fire. And scanning recent news headlines and from discussion with folks in the industry, it seems like fires in these operations are happening more frequently. What can an operator do in the event of a fire, and what steps can be taken to better prevent fires from breaking out? We'll discuss that in this episode with my guests Bill Sullivan, fire protection engineer for the City of Madison Fire Department in Wisconsin, and Marcus Terran, CEO of Movatherm, an innovator in fire detection technology based in Irvine, California. Bill, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Matt.
And Marcus, thanks for being here.
Yes, hi. Thank you.
So let's start our conversation by sharing from your viewpoints what's happening with these more frequent fires in the laundry and linen services industry. And Marcus, we'll start with you.
Yeah, we have been hearing basically in industrial laundries, they have issues sometimes when they leave the soiled laundry compacted in a big tote hanging in a receiving area, and there may be chemicals from, let's say, automotive cleaning solvents and those kind of things in there, and maybe from the restaurant industry all kind of mingled together, and then the weight of the laundry, and then you have some sort of a exothermic reaction of the chemicals creating essentially like a smoldering kind of a situation, which might then turn into a fire situation.
And how about for you, Bill?
I would have to echo Marcus's comments there, because we have seen very similar, more of the restaurant type scenarios, rags and cloths being oils or grease saturated, and then whether through the laundering process, they're not able to get all of the product out, and then they're dried in that heat, and then they're contained into some type of plastic bag or plastic container that retains that heat and leads to combustion. We've actually seen a number where the product is being returned to the customers and actually starting fires in those situations because they're not getting unpackaged and sorted out.
We've started talking about causes. Bill, why don't you continue? Are there any other causes that you can see that are happening for these institutional commercial on-premises laundry operations?
So I did a little research. Unfortunately, the data doesn't necessarily break out laundry facilities specifically, but in the industrial manufacturing settings, probably the primary, the by far leading cause of fires is typically electrical systems. This equipment draws a lot of power and then changes over time. The proper maintenance of that equipment seems to be the leading cause by far. But we also see other sources, heating equipment, things being placed too close, and just general lack of good housekeeping. That's I think we see a lot of things in that, and then changes over time make it difficult to continue to maintain those that separation and heating sources and combustible products.
And how about you, Marcus? Any other causes that you are aware of?
Yeah, definitely. We have seen things in industrial operations where, let's say, you have hydraulic equipment that tends to run pretty hot to begin with, and there may be a hydraulic leak, and the hydraulic fluid drops down on something that's hot and then catches fire. Those kind of things we have seen on the electrical side. Totally agree as well, where there's an electrical connection that carries a lot of current, and over time, it may be a screw terminal or something. Over time, because of thermal expansion and the equipment cooling down and heating up and those kind of things, that it just becomes looser over time. And if the electrical maintenance department isn't on top of things and retightens connections on a regular basis, stuff just tends to heat up, and sometimes it goes all the way to developing a fire.
So let's talk a little bit about the dangers of a fire breaking out in laundries. And we've got two different sizes: institutional on-premises, the smaller operations, and then the bigger commercial operations. Let's start with the dangers for an institutional on-premises operation. Marcus, do you have any thoughts on that?
We deal primarily with industrial sort of settings, but the danger overall, I think, there's a lot of flammable material in the area, right? So once really a fire starts going, it's really difficult to contain it, because it just, because they're so cramped for space all the time. And it's just, once it gets going, and it's so quickly that there's not much you can do, I think, unless the sprinkler system kicks in. But that's obviously an issue. Like I always say, whatever the fire doesn't destroy, the sprinkler's going to do in the rest,
How about you, Bill? Do you see any differences and dangers with the institutional on-premises and the commercial laundries?
Well, sure. There's a couple of things with the on-premise institutional is that you might have staff that have other duties, all right, or they're out collecting, and so they'll start processes, and then they may not be in the room or space the entire time and let machines run. So then those things can start an issue and go unnoticed, right? So there could be some delay in that detection. They may be in a separate room, kind of closed off, back of house kind of scenario, and therefore a fire can be a little bit larger before it's detected and then initiating the proper response.
Okay. How about on the commercial side, the larger industrial?
You know, so from the commercial side, what you know, I guess my experience is I see the large, more wide open facilities, and what can happen there is we might detect something sooner, but if the fire continues to grow, we have a mitigation on spreading a smoke throughout a facility, right, which can lead to obscured exiting. You know, it could actually lead a little extra stress factor to the occupants trying to evacuate. And then ultimately, depending on how much smoke, by the time the fire department gets there, now we're going to have a little bit of difficulty trying to find the exact source of the fire if the entire space has been filled up with smoke. Now it's just one more hazard we have to navigate to be able to get to the source and control the situation.
So obviously, the first thing that needs to happen if a fire starts is to call 911 to get the fire department on their way. But after that, what's the first thing a laundry operator should do when they discover that a fire has broken out in the operation? And Bill, I'm going to start with you.
Number one priority is your people are your greatest assets, right? So being able to get them to have a plan, to get them in evacuating, make sure they're aware of that situation and beginning in implementing your emergency plans. Whether staff are all supposed to evacuate certain areas and have a mustering point outside so that we can account for everybody. So when the fire department shows up, a spokesman can talk to them and say, hey, I have all my employees or all my occupants accounted for. That's one less thing that the fire department has to worry about trying to search for that. And we can put all of our resources into controlling the fire. But you also may have part of your operation plan might be to shut down various pieces of equipment, whether emergency shutoffs or whatnot, or make sure it's interconnected to the fire protection systems is also another option for some of that equipment. But that would be probably the primary stuff is get everybody out of the building and into a safe location and implement that evacuation plan.
Okay. Anything from your end, Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to second that. I mean, that is definitely human capital is the biggest one, right? I mean, everything else can be replaced. So that's definitely something anybody should have in place for sure. You know, exit signs properly marked and all those kind of things that people are not in big confusion if there's smoke development that they don't know where to go.
Right. Yeah. So now we've talked about the safety of employees. Is there anything else that you can think of that can help operators, steps they can take to help ensure the safety of the employees and lessen the damage to the equipment and goods?
Again, training, I think, is a big thing that is often overlooked, especially if you have operations where you may have a high turnover, you know, in facilities and people are getting, you know, trained up real quick because they're all worried about their schedule and getting the product cleaned and out the door and all those kind of things. Whereas, you know, there should be a decent amount of time being spent with employees to properly train them, you know, especially on workplace safety in general. I mean, fire is one thing, but there's other things as well. They're operating large machines and all those kind of things. And there's, you know, heavy equipment being moved back and forth and all those kind of things. So I think that should not be overlooked.
I agree. But I think Marcus is right on point on that, making sure that we have employees trained. A couple of other things that's kind of changing the industry now is just the workforce in general. Right, we don't have employees staying nearly as long as in the past, and we want to make sure that knowledge that somebody's been there 15, 20 years for the same employer really understands those systems, right? So we want to make sure that knowledge is passed on and to somebody that previously might not have been elevated to a supervisor or manager in 15 years, maybe there in 5. So we want to make sure that we continue to expand on that training so that everybody knows. One, how to operate the machines. Two, how to deal with hazards and emergency situations, you know, and then just good housekeeping and making sure that the processes are appropriate. Everybody's trying to get things done on time and being able to make a profit, right? That's the whole purpose why we're in business. But on the same token, we have to be able to look at those processes and make sure that they are still appropriate, right? We don't want employees trying to engineer other ways of getting the job done in a shorter amount of time because the process that we have set up isn't the most efficient. And then we're starting to bypass safety features or other elements.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, let's continue along with training. What are methods to help train the staff so that they can help in the event of a fire and help them to prevent fires?
Having those emergency plans and making sure that they are trained on a more regular, frequent basis. You know, most of the time we see that somebody gets handed an emergency evacuation plan when they get hired, along with all their other new employee paperwork and everything else, and that kind of stuff gets put in the background. Mm-hmm. Being able to revisit on a regular basis, making sure employees know the other ways out, right? We know that people tend to go out the way that they come in, even in an emergency. You know, we see time and time again that people might actually walk past secondary means of egress because they don't come in that door. The employee parking lot's on the other end of the building, and that's the door. They come in and they go out every day, whether that's where the time clock is or whatnot. So being able to set up the emergency plan and forcing people to go out other ways is a great way to challenge them a little bit. But also just that general refresher on how to operate the equipment. What's the proper storage that, you know, the chemicals, and making sure that we're maintaining those requirements, right? So, I mean, somebody came up earlier today, I've got to do this, but we talk about nobody's refreshed them, right? So they were given the instructions on how to use this piece of equipment, but day in and day out, they use it this way. But then all of a sudden, when there has to be updated or a slight change or the cleaning process, everybody kind of forgets that how that's supposed to be done, or regular cleaning that needs to be done on a piece of equipment on a regular basis.
Any training ideas from you, Marcus?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Bill on this one too. Like, the repetition is often just ignored, right? Like, managers or supervisors may just put the checkbox behind something. Yep, I got them onboarded. Here's all the steps I had to go through, and now you go do your job. Very rarely do we see that people do repetitive training and refreshers, right? Or even have people walk the preferred exit route or something like this, right? It's like, yeah, it's over there, but really getting that muscle memory going. And, like, you know, everybody that flies, you know, commercial aircraft probably knows where they, you know, they're doing the drill every time you go on board. I mean, it's part of the, you know, and I've heard it 100,000 times almost, but it's like, it's that repetitive thing. They're going to drill this into you. And I think a lot of companies could do much better just adopting something that is more repetitive, right? Because that's kind of like what people remember, especially when you're in a distracted sort of a heightened state of alert, sort of a panic situation. You know, you don't think straight anymore when something really goes down. You want to really, that needs to become second nature, right? I mean, anything we train on a regular basis is just a reflex rather than just a thoughtful process. And I think that's where the difference comes in.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I understand that. So, Marcus, I think we're going to enter your wheelhouse now. What fire prevention equipment would be helpful for an operator to use in their laundry?
Yeah, I mean, besides all the stuff that we have talked about, especially housekeeping, I see a lot of, like, lint buildup, you know, and that's obviously becoming, you know, if that touches something that's hot and stuff, it's just like, you know, cleaning electrical equipment of lint and those kind of things. Those are the easy stuff that you can do. But really, from a technology point of view, what we have come up with, because really there isn't much of a fire prevention technology there. It's really, there's the sprinkler system. By that time, I mean, a lot of flame development has happened. I mean, it's pretty much too late. I mean, it's great, obviously, and very necessary for saving human lives, but it's really not doing anything with protection or early prevention. Sort of an approach there. And that what we are using are basically thermal imaging cameras. And the idea there is to actually monitor equipment nonstop in real time and creating kind of a known normal for certain areas to say, okay, yeah, there may be something warm there, but that's normal. And we look at boundary conditions to say, is something getting warmer than normal? Right? Because if you point a thermal camera anywhere into an operation, there's always hot spots here, there, and whatever. But the question is really, what's the daily expected versus the abnormal range? And the hope is with thermal camera technology that you can do a hotspot detection before you have even smoke development, before you reach a flash point, and then have somebody alerted to it and go in and maybe take that laundry pile apart and prevent that spontaneous combustion.
Right, right. And Bill, how about from the fire department side? What equipment do you see that a laundry operator should be using to help prevent fires?
Sure. So obviously, we were promoting fire sprinklers. We know that it has such a proven track record. But like Mark just said, it's proactive in the fact that we're not waiting for the fire department to show up, but it is still a little bit of a reaction of, I have something already on fire by the time that happens. And I think the thermal imaging option is the great option. The other one that we've seen grown in popularity is smoke sampling systems, to be able to draw a little bit of air in from a room in space and analyze that and be able to catch those first little whiffs of products of combustion, much like the initial stages of the heat signatures.
Okay. We've talked a little bit about how fire prevention equipment has improved here. Let's talk a little bit about what prevention detection equipment will look like in the future. Marcus, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so we're always kind of on the cutting edge for those kind of things. We have developed an IoT-based system, Internet of Things. The way that works is we have a network of thermal cameras looking at everything, but we also do what we call sensor fusion. We augment these sensors with smoke detection, for instance, in addition to simple temperature sensors in certain areas where a thermal camera may be obstructed by a lot of different things, especially in an industrial laundry facility. There's a lot of these tote bags hanging around. And so there's a lot of tote bags in the center of all the other tote bags. What if that thing gets warm? The thermal camera may not be able to see that because it's obstructed now by a bunch of other things. So in that case, we may be putting smoke detectors above that, or temperature sensors above that. So we can really augment the detection sensor technologies all together with different methodologies. We can put flame detectors there, all kinds of different things that make sense, and then bring them all together. And each sensor has its own rule set of when it triggers a notification. We also have early warning notifications when we're like, it's kind of on the edge. It may not be a full alarm, but maybe somebody should go in and check something out. And then we have this combined with what we call a map view. It's basically a facility map, because especially these industrial laundry facilities can be quite large, and they have multiple rooms and all those kind of things, lots of equipment moving through. So it can get very confusing if you have an alarm going off, like, okay, where's the issue? Especially if you don't have smoke development, there's no visual cue for you right now where the issue is. So how do you know where is it? So we have this map view, and we have symbols of these sensors and cameras there. And when there's a detection there, that symbol turns red, and you can get a text message with a web page link. You know, this can also be sent by email to a fire department, for instance. And for the first responders, they can look at this map, and it's dynamically being updated. So you can see exactly what's going on and where exactly in the facility is it. You have a map of the facility, and you can also have the utilities noted on that map as well. Where's your electrical cabinet? Where's the water connection? Where's the gas? Like, you can have all of that there. And that, I think, helps out the first responders a great deal, because they know where everything is situated, and they're being updated while they're going to the facility in terms of any sort of developments already there. So that's kind of what our technology does there.
Okay. Bill, anything that you're seeing on the fire department end for coming up in prevention detection?
Yeah, I think I can't say anything more eloquently than Marcus said. That was kind of exactly some of the things that I've worked with a couple different manufacturers, being able to put these multi-sensors into one detector, being able to have multiple signatures that we're looking for, whether it's thermal, smoke, and whatnot. So I think that is definitely the future that we're going to see. And some of the technology being able to update incoming responding units, we haven't seen that filter out to my level yet, but we do know that it's coming, and things that as technology grows and becomes more integrated with us, then we'll start to get a little better data. The more data we get, the better we're going to be able to respond and effectively handle the hazard that's in front of us.
Last question for you both. If the operators listening to this podcast only walked away with one thing from our discussion, what would you want that to be? And let's start with you, Bill.
My big thing is maintaining your fire protection equipment. Maintain your industrial equipment in good working order. Maintaining your exits and exit paths, and make sure that they're free and clear. And maintaining cleanliness and good housekeeping. We have good maintenance in place. That's really going to limit the potential of having a catastrophic event.
And Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, prevention is absolute key, the best you can do there. But also, yeah, look, educate yourself on what new technologies are out there. Can you improve your detectability? You know, if you can save yourself 10, 15 minutes and give you an early warning, you know, that could go a long way. I mean, we have seen fires costing $2 million and up. Like, if you can prevent this, I mean, it's worth every penny.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing with us on the podcast, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks to you as well, Bill.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you guys today.
And thank you for listening. For the American Laundry News Podcast, this is Matt Poe reminding everybody to keep it clean. The American Laundry News Podcast is a production of American Trade Magazines, LLC in Chicago. The music, titled Holding On, composed by Poddington Bear, is supplied through the Free Music Archive. For more information about future podcasts, visit our website at AmericanLaundryNews.com or consult The Wire, our weekly e-newsletter. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter to stay informed about these podcasts, along with news and information from around the industry. This has been the American Laundry News Podcast.